The permanence of this economic growth has had an undeniable direct effect on increasing social tensions, especially among workers. This rift has repeatedly been worsened by Western restrictive, punitive measures against China.
So the question is whether there are ways for the American authority to impose some restrictions or even sabotage China's economic development. Well, my view is that the American society is not monolithic. The American society is rather a diversified society, and so is the American government in general. So at any moment, there are forces in the American economy and society who are pushing for some kind of punishment or some kind of restrictions or even containment policies on the Chinese economic development. Well, these forces are still very prominent. They are pushing in various directions.
Some problems are real. Some problems are based in just on imagination. For instance, some Americans will say that China exports food to the United States that is not safe. So China must have some bad intentions to poison American people. And that, of course, is not true. And on the Chinese side, we have suspicions that the United States wants to contain China, and they are doing everything possible to prevent China from rising up as a global power. That is a reasonable suspicion. But then the Americans tell us, why do we want to get investment in your country? Why do we want to have trade with you? Because we want to make money. And if we just try to constrain you and contain you, how can we get a share, some more benefits from China? So they deny that they have ill intentions about China's rise.
The Chinese have learned during the past few decades how to continue remaining joyful and improve their morale by relying on their culture and traditions. As such, in terms of commercial competitiveness, they've become ever more familiar with the rules and norms of global trade. Based on this realization, the Chinese have categorized their goods in three different levels as far as production quality is concerned. First level relates to export directed at the US and European markets. Level 2 and 3 pertain to African and Latin American consumers, where certain items stand a better chance to sell.
Why do some Americans are complaining about China's trade? Because there are some losers. If we continue to sell consumer goods in the United States, like our furniture, and then some furniture companies will come to China to make money. And so some people in the United States will become losers. To the same extent, some Chinese are the losers of the bilateral trade because, you know, there are so many consumer goods from the United States coming into China. So some Chinese are producing the same kind of consumer goods, like cosmetics, some advanced goods. So we are competitors in that regard. So this is a very complicated relationship.
And we have shifted from exporting mainly raw materials to manufactured goods. And in the year of 2007, the export of manufactured goods stood at more than 95%. And at the same time, I think in the process of China's rapid development of foreign trade, we are also having some difficulties and problems. And the major problem is that the export structure has to be further improved. And among the major exporting companies and the commodities.
For a long time, Chinese industries have been transforming and all efforts are now focused on removing the bad reputation of China as a producer of low-quality products. But this matter requires spending many years of time and, of course, relying more on new overseas technologies. No doubt, more dependency will have its own consequences as well.
But on the other hand, such a growing economic competition is also harder to reduce in all ways because, you know, we see some of a growing trade protectionism in the West, in Europe and the United States. So such a trade protectionism is a big enemy for the China's economic, you know, development. So such a things also need to be articulated politically and strategically.
The supportive policies implemented by Western governments for protecting their own local economies and industrial sectors are usually defined in a few categories. First is levying heavy tariffs, then increasing taxation, restricting or preventing import of Chinese goods, political measures, and the like only reveal certain aspects of these policies. Work speeds up when recession overwhelms the West. It forces politicians to take enormous amounts of money out of their Federal Reserves for injection into certain sectors, such as the automobile industry.
We have to look at the relationship from a broader perspective. We have to look at the relationship as complicated by different forces and different elements in both societies. There are some Americans who do not want to see a rising China. And there are also people in China who are very angry with the American international behavior and their behavior toward China. But there are other people who realize the importance of the bilateral relationship, and also they work very hard to solve these problems.
Also learn a lot, earn a lot of money from China's export to the U.S. And China also profit a lot from such economic cooperation with U.S. and China's effort to enter in the WTO and China's increased, you know, voice in IMF and the Bank of the World.
The Western world, especially the U.S., is constantly claiming that China inflicts over $1 billion in damage on them annually for its not abiding by copyright law. Perhaps one of the main factors that encouraged the Americans to agree with China's joining the World Trade Organization is, in fact, restricting Chinese behavior through this organization, a matter which the West has so far failed to achieve.
So that's why economically Beijing would like to have any policy fighting the U.S. and militarily and strategically, but we're still just always hating against each other. So such a important but complicated nature of a relationship between the U.S. and China is always a vivid description of how power relations is, you know. For example, we're economically highly interdependent, and militarily strategically we're also always on a very strong guard against each other. So such as things will continue to, I think, dominate the future's landscape in the world of politics, but I don't think that Beijing will change such a cooperation while, you know, just guarding U.S. you know, the policy. So realignment is not the Beijing's choice now.
Post-industrial nations oftentimes suffice with transferring know-how to China, dear Sparrow. In order to cut their costs, they generally tend to employ local labor in a way that sometimes reaches a 100% local Chinese workforce, even including experts. However, they still make sure their superior technologies remain their monopoly, enabling them to manufacture only for export. For instance, parts for the Mazda or Honda cars or Sony Electronics are produced in China and are exported to the West under the same original indication. The outcome of this partnership, our collaboration in conquering global markets, has generated massive profits for other countries and left the Chinese mainly with pollution and social disarray to deal with, although at the cost of some financial benefits.
There are various ways in which some American factions are trying to impose restrictions on the Chinese economic development. Well, overall, these forces are not dominant so far. They are not dominant. They are not overwhelming the society. They are not the majority. The majority of the American people and society realize that China's economic growth and China's economic emergence actually are beneficial to the American society and American interest in the long run. So I am not so worried about American restriction, American sanction against Chinese economy. However, we still have to be alert in this regard.
Dear Sparrow, the issue of Sino-US competition, or cooperation, in terms of economic affairs is a very complex one. During the final months of 2008, a lethal deluge of toxic financial loans took over the Western economies and people's lives, creating an abysmal slump and slowdown. Following that, a flurry of factories and banks went bankrupt. Even some American car makers are forced to lay off a great many of their personnel. In some cases, they even had to temporarily shut down. Studies within the World Trade Organization indicate that in the long run, China will be forced to shift from being the center of export-oriented production to becoming a hub for the service sector. This is a change that can cause literally millions of rural Chinese to flood into the cities and urban areas. So it is perhaps essential for China to revise its major economic and trade policies in order to prevent a menacing human crisis that could involve hundreds of millions of its people. That's all for now, dear Sparrow. From Laura with love. So-